السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My apologies sincerely to all those in the درس here, mashallah. We had a majlis of dhikr and didn't realize the time during the dhikr. And we had some dhakirin, brothers who traveled from for 3 hours just to come to the majlis of dhikr for half an hour or so forth. So we spent time with those brothers, and they've just left now, just to go back to their city, going another 3 hours. This is a great blessing to whom Allah bestows these blessings. Traveling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dhikr, traveling for the sake of Allah's knowledge, for his for gaining his ilm. This is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah sends the angels to spread their wings around those underneath the feet of those who are the dhakirin, come for the islah and so forth. And mashallah, these brothers, they're not young. They're much, much, much older. They have grandchildren, but they still came in spite of their age and various illnesses. So we have Allah's sincere servants everywhere, some young, some old, different cities, different countries, all over the world. May Allah make us amongst His beloved servants also. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatim al-Nabiyyin, Muhammadin Nabiyyil Ummi al-Kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, ila yawm al-Din. Amma ba'd. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Can one of the brothers share with me on WhatsApp the, in fact I don't need to, I can open it up here, inshallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay, G. So if everybody opens up Haqiqat al-Jalb al-Suluk, and inshallah ta'ala, this will be what we'll be getting straight into. So we covered the first paragraph. The second paragraph was also done. And we had completed and concluded the third paragraph of the first page of our English translation of the kitab entitled Haqiqat al-Jazb wa-Suluk, the reality behind Jazb and Suluk. Jazb with Allah is in Arabic. In Farsi, in Urdu, is Jazb. So we're talking about the Farsi, the original maktubat of Imam Rabbani in Farsi. So we will say it in Jazb al-Suluk, Haqiqat al-Jazb al-Suluk, which is the kitab written by our Shaykh al-Murshid al-Sayyid Shabir Hukaka Khair Hafizullah Ta'ala, commentary on Maktub 287. And this is the humble translation in English of that. So we got to the part where we were talking about, based on the above analogy, a seeker cannot claim to be an accomplished spiritual guide, a peer, a murshid, if he has not completed the spiritual journey. Such a person will lead those seeking his guidance astray, especially harming those who have the potential for spiritual accomplishments. This is very important. As with anything, if somebody starts to learn or somebody starts to study a subject with somebody which they are unacquainted with themselves, right, then this is of no benefit. A person will not only waste their time, but they may end up incorrectly learning concepts incorrectly, right? Somebody is pretending to be a medical doctor and they don't know that they're not qualified. They may have read many books on chemistry, biology, on medicine, on pharmaceutical drugs, on delayed illnesses. They read many PhD papers that have been written. They may know all of them by memory. That still will not qualify them to be a practitioner and a doctor. And in England, we have something called the General Medical Council, GMC. They will not approve them. You have to have an MBBS or MCHB, and you have to be qualified. After that, you have to have trained house jobbers on F1, F2 here. And then you become somebody who then they can let loose on patients. So how can somebody who has not done the journey, what does the journey mean here? Suluk, mashallah, good. The journey means suluk, right? Because there's two things. It's called this book is called Haqiqat-e Jazb Suluk. So two things. Jazb is the, as we've discussed many times, jazb is the desire to do good for Allah's sake. This is jazb. In Urdu, we say, for those who are acquainted with the Urdu language, jazba, right? To have a jazba, and in Arabic, jazb means to absorb as well. To absorb, jazb. The sponge, the jazb of the rainwater, right? This cloth, the jazb. So it means, literally, it means attracting. But jazb here means attracting the love of Allah, such that it, when you attract the love of Allah, it gives you such fuel, such energy. You know, like on the packet of the batteries, you have the Duracell battery. You have one ba battery, then you have some animal pictures that they do as part of the advertising. This is the super one, and it's wearing like a gym outfit, right? Meaning that this battery will last longer, just like this animal runs. Right? Weird marketing, but hey, they have this, right? So this is the super fuel, what you'll call nitrogen oxide, right? The nitrox of the jazba is obviously the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can fuel a person and motivate a person enough for to do some of the amazing things that people in the history of Islam have done. No civilization has such a vast number of men and women from every background and culture, language and color who have sacrificed so much so willingly for the sake of this religion, except for in Islam, for Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was this? This is because of jazb. The jazb means the feeling and the emotions of love and desire to fulfill the commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's jazb. But it's not permanent. It's temporary, at least in the initial stages, according to Mujaddid al-Thani. This is what we're studying here. According to Mujaddid al-Thani, the Mujaddid of the millennium, he says, he explains that the initial jazba that you get when you start practicing the deen, start reading salah, making dhikr, it's like it's very exciting. Your ruh becomes almost red hot, right? But that is only as red hot as iron, a rod of iron, when it's heated red hot. You can then bend the rod of iron. You can bend it. You can shape it into legs for a table or for a chair or something. You can do all of these things, or for the frame of a car, but it needs to be heated to be molded and shaped. But as soon as it cools down, it no longer can be moved again. It cannot be shaped. You cannot twist it, change it. So similarly, jazb has a very short window. Jazb has a very short window where a person feel is their ruh is red hot. Now they can do salah, they can get up front, they can read the isha, they can guard their gaze, they will not backbite to talk about people behind their back and all of these things. All the sins that are universal. All of these things a person is able to leave, and all the ibadat of tilawat al-Quran, of dhikr, Hajj, Umrah, the desire to do so. All of these things, learning Islamic knowledge, all of these things, memorizing du'as, Quran, all of these things they're able to do because they're in a state of jazb, which is good. This is good because it's a state of the heart. But if they are not attached to a sheikh who is qualified, which is what he's talking about, radiallahu anh, in this paragraph, which is this, if the sheikh is not qualified, then he can lead somebody astray. Why? Because as soon as this amount of energy and love and jazba is attained, a person should move directly and straight away into suluk. Now, what is suluk? Sounds like a word. Okay, it means a path. What's the path? It means the person now should systematically work with their personal trainer, their sheikh, on eradicating those things which are flaws within the character. That's what we do. That's what the tariqah is. So, for example, when I was working in the industry early on, before setting up anything myself, was that you had to interact with males and females, right? So I would ask my sheikh that this is how we are. How shall I do this? How should I? And there were practical remedies for it. One of the examples is, for example, he taught the way to look in the direction if I want to has to, if you can't, if you're forced to. For example, if you're seated at a conference, you have to address, you can't tell them to segregate the conference. You're part of the firm. You have to give the presentation, right? If you're at university studying, you're a student. You can't tell the lecturer, I want everybody segregated before I stand up in the auditorium and give my presentation, right? So what do you do in those instances? You're a doctor, you work in a hospital. You have to give the findings and discuss the report on a daily basis, weekly basis of your patient before you do a handover. Male, female, how are you going to do that? So the practical, the tasawwuf is practical. So the sheikh would guide that look without looking. And the way to do that is, like, I can look at a tree, I can look in that direction, I can see it, but I'm not counting the leaves. It takes practice, right? But, and there's also another technique is when you're traveling, for example, and you're not doing the driving, or you're on the bus, you're on the train, you're on the plane, and you have sat down and you're secure and you're safe. You don't need to wear your glasses, right? So, for example, I've taken this off here because they're married here. These are all men here. But we don't need to wear this, like, say, passing the driver. I've got my glasses on. If I've forgotten to take them off, that's something else. But my habit is to take off the glasses. Why? Because I don't need the extra perfect vision to see what's outside. I don't need to see what's outside. I'm not here for sightseeing. We're going from A to B, right? And the people that are important are in the car. And the objective that's important is where we go. And the place we have to return is where we have to return. So the place that we started is where? Is in Jannah, in Alam Arwah, in the realm of the heavens, where the souls were. Then we came into the dunya. Where are we going? To the Akhirah. Back to the Akhirah, right? During this time here, we're just going to make sure we don't get too distracted. We will get distracted. It's natural. But when we're distracted, we didn't do the dhikr. We didn't stick to our regimen, our schedule, our connection, communication with our sheikh, and so forth. These are the things that then, you see, those who are online cannot see, but you can see. Us, we're like this. We're here. If you raise your hand, you keep at your nose level, we're here. And on a daily basis, because of our sins, we dip like this, right? Then we do so, we go to a majlis or a halaqah of dhikr, or a dars, then we go like this. And then we go down again, right? Then we go like this to the next majlis or Jummah, then we go like this. But at least you have these pegs in the week, right? Salawat and salam majlis, maktubat majlis, Jummah salah. So these pegs stop you from dipping straight down. If we didn't have them, it takes a lot to come back out. We know. So the jazb is attained in the heart. It's the feeling, the emotion of the heart. And then the suluk has to be done. What is suluk? Practical remedies. For example, a brother, nobody knows who this brother is, somebody. And he wrote that, I never used to lie, but I've realized that when somebody asks me a simple question, I always answer with an exaggerated answer. Meaning, for example, somebody says that, I'm just giving an example, this isn't his example, that somebody said, so did the dars go well? Because he attended a dars. It was so well, subhanAllah. I think a few people took shahada as well. Now, what's the point of adding the bit where people, I think people took shahada? You know that nobody took shahada, that you were there till the end. So you know, and he didn't This isn't anybody, this is just a made up example, but it's similar to the example you gave. But he realized, he said, but you're going to think I'm a very bad person. I said, this is the issue. Shaitan never wants you to open up to the sheikh and he'll think I'm bad. No, but the murid who benefits is the one who goes to the sheikh. I have this problem. So the dhikr, he said, I'm such a bad person. Look, I never used to do this. Now look at this disease. And I explained to him, this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing that you've been able to detect it. Were you able to detect this before? No. I said, it was with you before. You don't just start this. It was with you before. But because of the dhikr, he said, what's the point of doing dhikr? What's the point of doing dhikr if I'm still doing this? We said that your dhikr is what made you detect it. Your dhikr is your alarm system. The dhikr and muraqabah that your sheikh has given you, the awrad, the adhkar, that's allowed you to detect these spiritual diseases. Before we didn't know. Before we gave bay'ah to our sheikh. Allahu Akbar. Our sheikh, he, subhanAllah, he doesn't even leave something that could be sincere. He doesn't even leave that. For example, I was in the Khanqah and I was wearing a green qamis, kurta. And I was wearing a white kufi, topi, prayer hat. And I was coming upstairs, so there were two scarves. There's a white one there and there's a green one there. So I picked up the green one, just subconsciously picked it up. As I entered the Khanqah, Zid was speaking, he said, and some people, they have an illness to do matching everything. They want to match everything. Why do you want to match everything? To please people? Even though I didn't do it to please people, I just picked up what it just maybe subconsciously because it was matching what I was wearing. But I didn't do it to, but Sheikh is he's doing your Islah. Because that's what you've gone for, Islah. So he doesn't he wants you to be so aware of not even allowing that to be for the sake of anybody but Allah. Once Hazrat Sheikh was here just now in England. UK, some of the brothers online have met him, you know, Suhail and Abdul Halim, some of the other brothers that were here. Alhamdulillah, you obviously were here. Well, you weren't here at that time, right? It's okay. Okay, subhanAllah. So, Hazrat Sheikh, what he would do is one day, so we would prepare Hazrat's clothes, our Sheikh's clothes for him, right? He's a musafir, he's an elder. So, we would iron his clothes and stuff, and we'd put the scarf that he would have that day. The topi or the prayer, the shawl that he would wear. I would make sure everything was color coordinated, right? Just so it looked color coordinated. So Hazrat, what he said is, he saw it. He was sitting down. He looked at his socks. Sheikh Nawaz, his khadim, he had picked out his socks. The socks had some blue lines in it, and so did the scarf had some blue lines in it, and so did the prayer hat that he had some blue lines in it. Everything was matching. So when everybody left and we were just sitting there, he said, now look, I tell people not to waste their time trying to match their clothes and all the rest of it. Wear what's clean and available, right? And people are going to say, look, he's matching everything himself today. And he laughed, meaning you guys have done this, not me. Now you're thinking, what's this going to do with the suluk we're talking about? When you're with a Kamil Shaykh, he does your Islah and Reformation and Tarbiyah. He teaches you to be so mindful, to constantly be so sincere in all your action that even when you pick up a scarf or a garment, don't do it. What are people going to think? What are people going to think? Right? One of the things I often give an example for, Alhamdulillah, now I can. We used to have a long time ago, if my clothes were dirty, I would want to change it. Meaning dirty, not unclean, not napak, not najas, not unclean from a Sharia perspective, a Tahara perspective. But if they had like a black mark on it or some dust on it, or if you were eating and you dropped some stain of the curry on your clothes, you'd wash it and then you'd want to change it so that it become white again, right? Alhamdulillah, through the barakah of our Hazrat, now we clean it enough that it's not on there. It's more, as long as it's not the time to change our clothes, we don't need to change it. Doesn't matter if it's got four yellow stains, one stain that looks like turmeric haldi, right? And one looks like beetroot, it doesn't matter. Or a pen leaved. No problem, no issue. Because we're not here to. Me wearing the best clothes is for who? To try and impress people? Everything should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So مجدد الإفساد رحمة الله عليه للمكتوبات is saying سلوك is important. سلوك is all of these things one by one, but how are we going to monitor it ourselves? So when you start doing a dhikr, a light switches on, the searchlight. Right? Searchlight comes on. In the garden, in the forest, all the animals were present. The fox was there, the birds were there, the owl was there, but you couldn't see any of it. As soon as your security light is now on, your searchlight, your spotlight, now you can see even the robin and the sparrow and the birds, and you can see even the worms and the hedgehog that's walking quietly and slowly. Why? Because the light is there. The nur of dhikr, this is jazba. The jazba allows you then to see through the barakah of dhikr and tawajjuh of the shaykh. You are able to then see the faults in one's character. Once somebody came to Hakim al-Ummah, rahmatullah alayh, and he said, I want to become murid. He said, okay, write down your spiritual diseases, sins, and see what needs remedying your character and your personality and the things that you do. He said, Sheikh, I've looked for a long time, I can't find any faults. No problem in no problem in my character. So Hazrat Sheikh said, then you must find another Sheikh, because I only try and help those people who need to be cured. If you don't need any, if you have no ailments, you don't need a doctor. If you have no disease, you don't need to see a specialist. So he said, and then he said to him, at least you wretched man, you should have at least, he did taught him, on a, he said to him harsh words on purpose to hit his heart. He said, you wretched man, at least you should have thought that which of my deeds are good enough to present to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyam. None of them. Who can say that our deeds are good enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? So he then went back. He had a great impact on him. He went back, and then a few months later, he wrote a letter to the Sheikh and he said, Hazrat Sheikh, I have been looking. Now all I can see in myself is this sin, the sin of the eyes, the mind, the heart, what I think about other people. I try to show off, I try to do this, all of these things. Sin. So Hazrat Sheikh wrote to him. He said, Mubarak, congratulations. Huh? Sheikh is saying congratulations. He's saying, I've got all these faults. Sheikh is saying congratulations. He said, now, alhamdulillah, the effects of dhikr take place. Now you're able to detect your faults. The searchlight has come on. Now, only when you can see, if you go into a room that's filthy and dirty and disorganized, you don't even switch the light on, how are you going to fix anything? You'll end up bumping into things, falling into things and causing an injury. So now you've done the dhikr, you switched on the light. Maybe just a few, but there are a few to start working on. Then you do a bit more dhikr, a bit more regularity with the Sheikh's company, then a few more lights turn on, then a few more lights turn on. As a result, a person keeps on cleansing and purifying, tazkiyah, tazkiyah and tarbiyah, tazkiyah and tarbiyah, until they reach nafs mutmainna, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuduha nafs mutmainna, irji ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِ. Oh, Allah addresses the content soul. Mutmain, content. Content with what? This is a question. Content with what? What do you think content with?
With your actions, with yourself.
Okay, what do you mean? Elaborate on that.
With the actions that you present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, how do you mean? So, content that your actions are good enough. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and?
Just content with whatever Allah decrees for you.
Okay, so Raza bil Qada, you're saying is content. Okay. Both of you are correct, but it's not the full answer, mashallah. Content here means mutma'inna, and please, brothers online, note this, inshallah ta'ala. Somebody written something? Subhanallah. So, Hal Sahab, are you still in Medina Munawwara? Open your mic if you can. MashaAllah. The joint from Medina Munawwara, MashaAllah. He's been on Umrah, may Allah accept. Make dua for all of us, all the brothers that are online, and all the brothers that are here in person as well, inshallah ta'ala. What did you say, subhanAllah, to?
The example that you gave, Hazrat, with the journey that we're on, how you equated the car journey to our journey in this life, traveling to the Akhirah.
So, everybody else is a question open to everybody. What's mutma'inna? What's the nafs mutma'inna? The brothers here have at least attempted to answer that question. Nafs mutma'inna. What does content mean? Tamanin, content with what? So Allah addresses the content soul, because the nafs has three stages. Amara only takes you to sin. Look at haram, speak haram, don't pray, don't fast, eat what you want, dress what you want, do what you want. That's nafs amara bisu. Allah describes in the Quran. Then you get a stage where a person has sat with some people of Allah and has witnessed the blessings of Ramadan. They end up falling into sin sometimes, but they do tawbah, they feel bad, and they feel guilty for it. This is lawama, this is an in-between stage. Then there's a nafs mutmainna. So what is mutmainna? Daniel, yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
Salaam.
wabarakatuh. Would it be where you struggle with yourself to the point where Allah basically becomes makes it easy for you to then do all of those things, and then he, like the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, where he begins the hand becomes the hand with which the person does, the eyes with which he sees, and the feet with which he walks.
Mashallah. Okay, Jazakallah. So this is an answer as well, and it's a partial answer as well, but it's a good answer. What it is mutma'inna means, and if anybody ever discusses this ayah again, it means being content with the commands of the Sharia. Kabat. Being content with what Allah has commanded, so you said decreed, right? And what did you say, Alhamdulillah?
Yeah, I said being content with the actions that
Actions
are
for the day of
equated
Islam.
to.
Okay, so that is correct to an extent, but never a person should never be content. Never be content with their actions. A person should think, my actions are never good enough for Allah, and truly they're not. No wali Allah's actions are good enough for Allah, because Allah only, how can they be good for Allah? Allah is so pure. He's Quddus. He's so pure. He's Allahu Akbar. Allah is Allah. We are tainted. How can we, any of us, claim that our intentions? I'm just explaining the philosophy behind it. How can any of us claim that any of our intentions are absolutely pure? We can try. That's why we do tawbah istighfar, right? We should do tawbah istighfar over our a'mal. That's why after every action, the sunnah of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to do istighfar. When you finish a majlis, subhanAllah. Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiru wa atubu ilayk. You do istighfar for what you may have said, may have done inadvertently. When you come out of the bathroom, what's the dua? Ghufranak. Oh Allah, forgive me. Right? Alhamdulillah, the other bani, the right? It is istighfar after salah. You've just read salah in jama'ah in front of the Kaaba or in Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Or in Masjid Al-Aqsa, inshallah. Right? You've prayed salah in a masjid in congregation with your fellow Muslims, and Allah is saying that the sunnah is to do what? After salah. Astaghfirullah. Allahu Akbar once, and then astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. SubhanAllah, you've just prayed salah with wudu in Ramadan, right? On Jumu'ah. And Allah is saying to do istighfar. Why? Because none of our deeds can ever be good enough. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, after him and his son had rebuilt the Kaaba, what's his dua? Do you know?
No. Sure.
Does anybody know online what the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was? Put your hand up if you do immediately, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is, I'll just mention it to you, is that Rabbana تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Right? The dua that we read in our majalis and so forth is ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. So this dua, what's he saying? ربنا, oh my Lord, تقبل منا, accept from us, تقبل قبول كل, تقبل منا from us, accept, تقبل منا. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ Indeed you are, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الصَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. You are the one who hear, and alim, all knowing. وَطُبْ عَلَيْنَا. And oh Allah, we turn to you in repentance. وَطُبْ عَلَيْنَا. We turn to you in repentance. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. For indeed you are the one who accepts tawbah, oft returning, and the most merciful, most compassionate, most merciful. تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Ibrahim alayhi salam, a Nabi who cannot sin, is making this dua, who rebuilt the Kaaba with his son, who's also a prophet, who cannot sin because they're protected from sin. They're ma'asoom. It's our aqidah. They then rebuild the Kaaba, the place of Allah, and then they're making dua for istighfar and tawbah. Why? Because they don't even consider their deeds to be good enough for Allah. Allah is Allah. Nothing can ever be good enough. It's only out of His love for His creation, out of His mercy, that He accepts these things. Okay? So, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. So the answer is the content part, being content with the hukum and the ahkam of Sharia. Sharia says, get up for fajr. The nafs now doesn't, nafs does not fight the person. The nafs says, okay, get up. It's easy to get up for fajr. Okay, no problem. The Isha Salah, he wants to go to sleep without praying Isha Salah. Nafs says, nafs doesn't say. He doesn't have a problem now. Nafs is not dragging to him towards sin, guarding the gaze, backbiting, exaggerating. There is no difficulty in any of these things as a result. This is the mutma'inna nafs. Nafs mutma'inna. This verse of the Holy Quran, Ya ayyutuha, who's saying Ya? This harf al-nida, in Arabic harf al-nida. Who's addressing? Allah's not addressing Ya ayyuhal insan. Allah's not saying Ya ayyuhal mu'mineen. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. In other verses, Allah has said that in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, Ya ayyuhal mu'mineen, so on and so forth. Ya ayyuhal insan. Oh, mankind, all of us, Muslim, non-Muslim, doesn't matter. Here, Allah is specifically saying, forget the outer body. I'm talking directly to the nafs. Ya ayyuhu nafs al-mutmainna. Oh, content nafs. Content with what? As Mujaddid Sani Rahmatullah mentions again, being mutmain, content. Allah has said 4 rak'ahs. I'm not going to get lazy with my 4 rak'ahs of Isha. Allah has said that to implement this, Allah has said fasting in Ramadan, giving zakat, giving sadaqah, helping Muslims. Whatever, amal, learning your ilm, doing dhikr, nafs no longer becomes something that makes him feel he doesn't want to do. Nafs becomes a mutma'in. This is what Allah wants. That is the nafs mutma'in. And that is the nafs that will go to Jannah. I'm not saying this. And the verse in the Quran says, Ya ayyuhan nafs mutma'in, irji'i ila rabbiki radiya. Radiyatun mardiya. You become, oh, content soul. Listen to the tarjumah of this, the verse of the Quran. This contains the whole of tasawwuf, especially when Mujaddid Sani Rahmatullah was teaching. Ya ayyatuhan nafs mutmainna, irji'i, return to your Lord. So you return somewhere where you're going for the first time, or you've already been. Batayi?
Where you all already been.
Where you've already been. That's why it's called returning. Raja'a. Raja'a in Arabic means to return. It means you've been there before. That's why you return. We've already been with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were there before we were in this dunya. In alam al-arwah, where the souls were, in the realm of soul. We just want to get back there. We've been sent here just for a little bit just to see how distracted we get. Right? So, irji, Allah is saying, irji, ila rabbiki radiya, return to your Lord content, radi. Again, Allah using the content of radi. Mardiya, and he's content with you. Fadkhuli, so enter. Fadkhul, dakhla yadkhulu means to enter. Fadkhuli, fi, enter, fi ibad. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. What do you mean enter into my servants? I don't want to enter into somebody's servitude. I'm not a servant. I want to enter into Jannah. Allah is saying, until you become my abd, the true servant, a servant doesn't once Jadir Rumi rahmatullah in Masnavi Sharif, he writes that a king asked his slave, what do you want to eat? He said, I'm a ghulam, I'm a slave. Slave doesn't have a desire to eat. Whatever the master wants to feed him, no problem. And he said, what do you want to wear? He said, a slave doesn't have any choices to what to wear. Whatever the master wants to give him to wear. And he said, what do you want to drink? And all of this, he said, where do you want to sleep? He said, whatever the master says. He said, and he fainted, the king. He said, Subhanallah, you've taught me what bandagi is. You've taught me what being an abd of Allah is. The abd say, oh, but why? Why is this number salah? But can I get away with this? That's when the nafs is still being trained. Why? Because mutma'inna, because now there's no resistance of the nafs. This is the word to remember. There's no resistance from the nafs anymore. It's mutma'in, right? That is the goal. When the nafs becomes mutma'in through suluk systematically, one by one. Shaykh, today is a bad day. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing good. I've done the dhikr. I'm struggling with the dhikr. I'm struggling with the gaze. I'm doing good with the gaze. I'm not listening to music. I am listening to music. These are the practical things. What I realize is there's a Naqshbandi group, Maktubat group, And sometimes, some brother asked a question. This isn't a criticism of the brother, but this is just people don't have the requisite knowledge and they want to answer a question. Everybody wants to be a sheikh, but they don't have the requisite knowledge for it to be able to do it. They say, somebody asked a question, what's fala? So the answer was, fala is, it's a terminology in tasawwuf. Fala is to lose yourself in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not wrong from an academic perspective. But how does that translate to us here in England, in Turkey, in Germany, in Medina Munawwara, right? In Nigeria, wherever we are, how does it translate to us practically? Fana just means fana of your haram desires. We all have, me included, we all have haram desires that the nafs already has. To keep them suppressed under the boot of Islam, because Allah has asked, that is called mujahid. That is called striving and struggling. And that is what becomes fana when all the haram desires seem to have vanished. They haven't vanished. You've just suppressed them. You've suppressed them. Because if you take a great wali Allah and you place him in front of ghair mahram women, beautiful women, he will still fall into sin. Prophet ﷺ told us this. There's no two people, man and woman, but the third is shaitan, ghair mahram, right? So Allah, so the mutnafs mutma'inna is that person who is content. He's a true, the one who has a nafs mutma'inna, he's a true abd. And in tasawwuf and spirituality, there is no higher maqam. Forget all these terminologies. Fana, baqa, wilayat, nabi, wilayat. Somebody's talking about, a brother asked a simple question about fana and baqa. And the brother started answering. You know how they started saying? They started saying, you must think about wilayat nabi and wilayat of the wilayat nabuwa and wilayat of the awliya, the two different kinds of wilayat. That is splitting hairs. Alhamdulillah, we know what the concept is. What's that going to do with the practical thing he's asking for? So you feel like you've understood the words. All you've done is you've memorized the words of Mujaddid al-San. You've memorized it. But you don't understand its practical application, for which you have to go through suluk. Because they sit there, their lives don't change. They don't get closer to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but yet they sit on as keyboard warriors discussing fana and baqa, wahdat al-wujud, wahdat al-shuhud. And all they're doing is playing with terminology. Not one of them ever says that, brother, this is about practically leaving sin, ma'asiyah. If a person leaves sin and does amal on sunnah and they don't know any of these terminologies, they're a waliyan. You don't need to know any of these terminologies. But if you're doing the things that are required, nafs mutma'inna, and you're razi and you're mutma'in with the sharia, then you don't need anything. Don't need anything, because then you're a true abd. Because a true slave does what? He obeys. He obeys. He doesn't disobey. No rebellion. No ma'asiyah, no sinning. Nafs mutma'inna. Ya ayyuha nafs mutma'inna. Irji ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah. Fadkhuli fi ibadi, enter into my servants. And only then, wadkhuli jannati. Only then you'll go to Jannah. So only after nafs mutma'inna will you go become a true abd. Only a true abd will go to Jannah. So what's the highest maqam? Without the kubra, without the sughra, or is it just abdiyat? Simple servitude. Simple servitude. This is called simplifying the soul. May Allah reward our Shaykh. I wanted to speak about this, and we have done, alhamdulillah. We have just a few minutes because we have to make Asr Salah here in England, and then we have to head back as well. We're at Brother Rahim and Qasim's place. This dars is taking place from. May Allah reward them for facilitating and for wanting a majlis of dhikr and for this dars to take place. Alhamdulillah. If there's any questions, there's a. Bear with me a moment. So, if there's any question, brothers can ask, inshallah ta'ala. Aapka koi question hai?
Ji Sheikh, I have noted the meaning of mutmainna as being content with the hukum and ahkam of Sharia
Yes.
and not being lazy with the fara'id and sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
And the wajibat, yes. The wajibat come after the farz, ji, which is the same thing. But wajibat are compulsory, and some sunnahs are compulsory and some are not. This is why the ilm is we gain knowledge. That knowledge is fard upon everybody. ilm. Not everybody needs to be an alim. Not everybody needs to be a mufti. Not everybody needs to be a hafiz of Quran. But everybody needs to know the fard ilm, inshallah. So one of our, in our tariqah, one of the things that we always encourage is for a person to finish a few kitabs, which they can do in their own time, like Ta'lim al-Islam, basic tenets of Islamic faith, so that they have the fard ayn. Then it's just about acting upon it with sincerity, doing the dhikr to keep switching on that searchlight, that spotlight, to be able to do self-analysis. And if we don't do the self-analysis, we're only fooling ourselves and we won't reach those. Everybody wants to reach the high ranks of being close to Allah and Rasul. Those higher ranks can only be achieved by lowering oneself. You're going to say, what's he talking about? How do you lower yourself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rasulullah says in a hadith, authentic hadith, one who lowers himself, humbles himself, Allah elevates him. Man tawadda ala Allah, the one who does tawadu and is humble for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises. Right? So this is the maqam, this is what we should aim for. These are the true maqams, and it has to come through suluk. In this maktub, in this paragraph, there's so much just in these few lines we just studied, the haqiqah, the jazb, suluk. Jazb is the shauq, the desire, the love, and the eagerness to start obeying Allah. Why? Because, you know, the ruh, it was actually in heaven. As we said, we're going back, irja, you're returning back to where you go. So we were there. When we came into the dunya, into the body, this jasad, we were placed. And now ruh was also placed the nafs. And the nafs is something of, that has desires of the dunya. The ruh is of the heaven. So you have this fight going on. The ruh wants to do ibadah. It knows how good it feels, right? And the nafs wants to just be lazy, right? So this combat between the nafs and the ruh takes place in that place of the heart. And the dhikr is the fuel that allows you to keep winning that battle. So people say, oh, Shaitan says, oh, if you've done a sin, if you've committed a sin, a ma'asiyah, you might as well leave the dhikr, might as well leave salah. That's one of his first tricks. He takes out an arrow. The first arrow, he says, you might as well give up the good stuff. But they don't realize that the salikin, they don't realize that it's because of the dhikr that they're still able to do what they're able to do. You're going to fall into error, but it's about picking yourself up. A child may fall in mud, but no, or we may fall in mud if it's really wet weather like it is in England, but nobody wants to sit there in mud. Who sits there? Who sits there in mud and filth? Nobody does. You get up. What if you fall again? You sit down. I've fallen twice now. This time I'm gonna stay and put my bed and pillow in the mud water. Nobody does. You get up again and you say, so in that famous poem, Jo nakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahal koshish to aashiq na chore. ये रिश्ता मोहब्बत का कायम ही रखे, 100 बार टूटे 100 बार जोड़े, राइट? इवन इफ आई फॉल 100 टाइम आई विल गेट अप 100 टाइम. अ मुस्लिम नेवर गिव्स अप. واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. We will conclude there because we have Asr Salah to make. As we said, Maghrib is very close. We seek du'as from all the brothers, whichever part of the world you're in, whether it's Africa, Europe, Asia, and especially Brother Suhail in Medina Munawwara. Make dua for all of us, for the Ummah, and of course, I'm sure you are, and convey our salat and salam to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the Shaykhain Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and also for obviously for Palestine and for the Muslim Ummah at large, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. We will meet again if we live. If we are alive, inshallah ta'ala, next week at 2:30. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.